Greetings, my beautiful people. Nicole Lee here, broadcasting spiritual beings having human experiences. So allow me to explain why I call this broadcast Spiritual Beings Having Human Experiences. This is an excerpt from my second published book, Insight. A spiritual being is a soul from within the physical body. Our physical body is nothing more than a vehicle. Our truest self, our core of being, is our spirit. Before we were born, we made an agreement in the spiritual realm as a spirit to come to earth and bring forth a specific purpose. We are all here for a reason. As we were snuggled in our mother's womb, influence began to evolve from our mother's and father's historical imprint. When our mother gave birth, our journey of life began. Most times we tend to base our decisions on making someone else happy and in turn have created a life that we never desired. So now we desire change, yet we have baggage from bills, dysfunctional relationships, jobs we don't care for, and the list goes on. Now what? I'm glad you asked. This is a wonderful space to be in. Your inner spirit wants to come out and shine. Your inner core desires to operate as agreed the day you were born. We are all here for a purpose. God has created us for greatness. Yes, all of us. We were created in the image of God, which means we are co-creators and we have the power to create. I encourage you to seek what that purpose is. Reach down within, meditate, and ask God to guide you in finding what it is. It's a process, but it's rewarding when you begin to walk in it. We are spiritual beings having human experiences. Let's begin to experience blissful living, even in a world full of chaos and darkness. Let's begin collectively and consciously to create the Garden of Eden. It is a mindset that we can create in physical form. Heaven on earth is a desire. Become the light of the world. Today's episode, Dream Interpretations. I will be interviewing a beautiful soul, two beautiful souls, Mr. Jonathan Durbeck and Nick Wessel. I had the pleasure of crossing paths with Jonathan while on a spiritual journey seeking understanding about the power of the mind through the studies whilst attending the School of Metaphysics here in Cincinnati. So I welcome you, Jonathan and Nick. Can't understand why we treat each other in this way. Taking up time. Hello, hello, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jonathan and Nick. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here in this lovely little spot with this giant window.
Absolutely.
Hello, everyone.
Absolutely. Well, let's start sharing our stories. And who are you? Who is Jonathan? Who is Nick?
Well, I'll start out. I taught for... was a student and a teacher and directed schools for about 20 years in the School of Metaphysics, which is a not-for-profit educational service institute with branches in different cities, and used to have a branch in Cincinnati where I met you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no longer has a branch in Cincinnati. The nearest is in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Well, the one subject to focus we're going to focus on from that and from before that, dreams. I got into dreams starting... Really got interested when I was in high school, where I went through a time of some depression in early high school. Mm-hmm. And I'd have these dreams that were really, really happy, like euphoric, like level of happiness that was abnormally great. Mm-hmm. Waterfalls and clear water and cliffs and beautiful scenery and blue skies and
Wow. Energizing
feeling like spring. So I'd write them down in detail. Not because I wanted to know what they meant, just because I wanted to remember them so I could recapture that feeling and remind myself it was possible to be really, really happy.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So you found bliss through your dreams.
I did. And I found I'd feel good all day or for a week or quite a while after having a dream like that. So I hear people who say, oh, the only dreams I remember are nightmares. And I'm like, oh, man, that's too bad.
Exactly.
But then I ran across, I started reading a lot of stuff. I'm a big reader. And I got a hold of Edgar Casey's stuff. They called him the Sleeping Prophet. He did some dream stuff. And I thought, wow, okay, maybe dreams have a meaning. And you see that all over the place, the idea that dreams have a meaning. And I thought, that makes sense. There's got to be a meaning to these dreams. Mm-hmm. And I found the School of Metaphysics, which is a whole other story, and started learning under the guidance of Terrell Namath in Columbia, Missouri, at the school there, how to interpret dreams, how to write them down. So I tried out her method.
Wow.
And the method is to have a dream journal, like I'm holding in my hand.
Right.
Open the thing up, write down tomorrow morning's date before you go to bed.
Uh-huh.
First thing when you wake up, you start writing down whatever you remember.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't remember, you write something like, I'll remember tomorrow, or I'll...
Okay.
I forgot, if you want to be negative. And then, so I started doing that.
Huh.
And I'd bring in my dreams, and I was a big-time dream remember. I'd have like 4 or 5 or 6. I'd remember one, and they'd be like, oh, my goodness, there was another one before that. And then, oh, there's another one before that.
Wow.
And, but the first time I was sold on dream interpretation, I had this dream that I was in an amusement park. I was watching. And these families were going into the amusement park. They turn the turnstile, click, 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 and poosh, out comes this bug spray, sprays everybody down, decontaminates them. There's all these guys with gun belts, machine guns, dark glasses, military fatigues. They're pushing everybody around with the butt of their gun, saying, go here, eat more ice cream, ride this roller coaster. It's kind of strange.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's this one family, and the dad in the family comes up and points his finger in the chest of the big military guy, says, that's not the purpose of the police and the military. You're not supposed to be, like, invading amusement parks and pushing people around. I'm gonna tell the government about this and get you all shut down. And so I woke up and I thought,
that was
stupid. And like a lot of things, they look stupid on the outside, and then you find out it's really, really valuable. And so I wrote it down.
Yeah, that sounded like a movie.
I wrote this one down, and the way we were taught, there were a few universal symbols we were being taught, and one was that military represents discipline. And I was like, military, discipline, huh? What does that make sense?
Huh.
And
then
it just all clicked together. And I realized, okay, at the time, I could not walk so good because I had injured myself so bad from overtraining for cross country and track, running for the University of Missouri, that... I'd go out and I'd try to jog a little bit, and this thing that I had messed up in my leg would twist, and I'd limp home again, and then I'd try again a couple days later.
Right.
And I was really into pushing myself real hard.
Uh-huh.
So I realized I had taken something that was supposed to be like a amusement. It was supposed to be fun.
Right.
And I was turning it into this grueling way to prove I was tough by pushing myself real hard for no reason at all.
Wow.
And,
so that's what you interpreted about your dream.
That's what I interpreted about my dream.
That's powerful.
So I decided I need to stop pushing myself so hard without any purpose.
Wow.
So I learned, I had already knew how to do this, but I relearned how to be lazy. And I would,
favorite hobby.
I swung to the other side of the pendulum. And then I had another dream a few weeks later. On the same subject, after I practiced not pushing myself and being lazy instead. And this dream, if you ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, there's a character named George Bailey. I learned later the actor is Jimmy Stewart, but he was the main character. And everybody was angry, and it was night, and they had torches, and they were swinging the torches, and there was a famine, and nobody had food, and they're all ganging up on Jimmy Stewart, like, rah! And he's all backed up against a wall and holds his hands up and says, hold on, everybody. And they all stopped and listened, I guess, because he's Jimmy Stewart. And he says, you got 3 choices. You can be a dictatorship, you can be an anarchy, or you can be a democracy. And then this big boat arrived.
This is a dream?
Yeah. This boat came in from China full of apples, and then, you know, the famine's over, and then I woke up. So I wrote this one down.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I start looking into this, and this one, it's good not to just get done with trying to interpret a dream, just forget about it forever. It's good to go back in your journal, review mm-hmm. dreams from a few days ago, a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. That's what it took for me to really get this dream. And I realized, as you had brought up before we came on, the way I'd learned about this was what's in your dream is you. All that stuff is symbols of you, mm-hmm. and it's about you. So all these people in these governments in this dream, mm-hmm. the dictatorship is me. I'm the dictator, and I'm also the people being dictated at. Mm-hmm. And the people being dictated at are the parts of me that rebel and mm-hmm. resist and don't want to be pushed around all the time because I'm making myself do stuff against mm-hmm. against my sense of what's healthy and all these other things,
wow.
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that doesn't usually work. You can't keep yourself motivated being a dictator at yourself mm-hmm. and forcing yourself to do that.
So you would say the dream is about you.
Yeah. So then the other swing into being an anarchy would be like, okay, well, I'm not going to push myself. I feel like doing this. You know, now I feel like doing that. Now I feel like doing this other thing. No matter that these three things all disagree with each other and none of them are ever going to get done, I'm just doing what I feel like.
Right,
that's
right.
Like an anarchy where there's just no mm-hmm. coordination, no discipline, no control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to thinking about what would I be if I was a democracy? Well, the people is me. So I listen to me. I listen to myself. What does my body need? What mm-hmm. what does every part of me need? What do I need most? And then once I've listened, then after I listen, which right. is like taking a vote from the people, then I decide what I'm going to do. And this time wow. it's based on me completely, not just based on this idea I had that now I'm going to make myself do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's called purpose.
Wow.
And that...
that's powerful.
That was powerful. I still remember the dream.
You do? How long ago had this been?
Oh, this was like 1996.
And you still remember it?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
It's a big dream.
It's a huge dream.
So what I found I wouldn't rest with these dream interpretations. I wouldn't feel satisfied till I could relate it to my life. And I knew what it was about, and I knew what I could do with it. Because otherwise it gets real abstract, you know?
Sure.
So that sold me. Those two dreams together sold me on it, and I wanted to evangelize and get everybody right. I knew to start doing their dreams.
Absolutely.
And we had this dream hotline where you answer dream calls on the phone, which you know about.
Yep. I do.
And the school still does that.
Okay.
That's every April. And the other people at the school got sick and had to leave, and somebody's dad died, and they left. And the upshot of it was I answered most of the phone calls.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd only been doing this stuff for a couple months.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't have thought. The other thing I learned was if you get put, and you've probably seen this too, you get put into a situation where somebody needs you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how to help them, but you're the only one.
You got to find a way.
You're going to pull something out of yourself you didn't
That's
know
true.
You had.
That's and very true.
That is how I learned a dream interpretation was kind of like the kids that learn to swim by being thrown out into
right,
the pond.
Right,
that was part of it.
But that was already inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I suppose so, yeah. I like to look at it. People are like light bulbs. And you clean the dirt off the glass on the outside of the light bulb. And once you're done cleaning the dirt, you start to see what was in there.
What's really, yeah. That's powerful.
So
Thank you so much for sharing. That was...
Yeah. So that got me into this dream stuff, and then eventually I started teaching it, and then I got more curious about it, and years rolled by, mm-hmm. a bazillion stories I could tell about dreams, and then I ended up moving to Cincinnati, and we had a school here, and mm-hmm. for reasons that are a whole other story, we got rid of our building, and we were mm-hmm. just looking around town for places to meet to have class.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place called Starfire, and that's how we met Nick. Starfire works with two groups of people.
Oh, yeah.
I got to plug them on this.
Oh, you do, because actually one of my team members from Worry Moms, I'm sorry, is from Starfire, and she'll be here. This is amazing how all this is connecting.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a coincidence. But go ahead, yes.
So they work with two groups. They work with people in general, like mm-hmm. community, and mm-hmm. they work with adults with developmental disabilities.
Right.
And the idea is put those together mm-hmm. instead of being separate so people don't have social isolation and whatnot.
That's right.
So I had done some programs for them, some talks on dreams and concentration and emotions and stuff like that. And they said, I didn't even ask. They offered. Mm-hmm. When I asked, I just asked for networking help because they're such mm-hmm. good networkers.
They are.
They said, why don't you have your classes at Starfire and no charge? And they gave me the conditions. I said, we can't meet the conditions. They said, let's meet and we'll bend the conditions.
Right. They really wanted you there.
And they said the big condition is there's a guy named Nick Weissel. And we want you to work with Nick Weissel.
Really?
And so Nick became a student, and then we worked with him informally for a long time, and he came to all our dream webinars and everything we did to do with dreams.
Wow.
And Nick, and this is where we get into Nick.
Yeah.
And I'll let him tell you about his experience getting into dreams, because that's fascinating.
Oh, wow.
So that's my cue to you, Nick,
or
cue to ask Nick a really good question.
Absolutely.
My name is Nick, and I got into dreams in 2014 because I had this dream where I left my body, and I left my body, and I saw my energy body, and I saw the chakras lighting up like a light bulb, and then that's what first got me into my dreams was my body experience. And I met Jonathan for the School of Metaphysics after having a lot of interesting dreams and stuff like that. And then I became a student and started using the candle and the mirror exercises that the School of Metaphysics taught us to help concentrate on dreams and how to do some of their work.
It's powerful. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Nick.
You're welcome.
Awesome. So how has dreams affected your life?
Well, when I have a dream or an experience, I feel very blissful, very happy in life.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you found that your dreams have created a blissful living?
Pretty much, yes.
You. That's very powerful. So can you share how to tap into acquiring this bliss through your dreams?
By raising my vibrations and using the candle work. That's how I usually do it.
Wow.
Can you share, Nick, just because I know Nick, and he's got some good stuff to tell.
Yeah, go ahead.
How have your dreams changed since you started working with them, since we started working with your dreams?
A lot, actually. I have more blissful dreams, and I have more blissful dream trips to different levels, and sometimes I see snakes, too, to advise on how to use creative energy mindfully and things. Sometimes I have dreams about snakes, which is just a molecule of life force. Mm-hmm.
Snakes. Cool.
That's how I got into some of those things, because of my dreams and experiences with them.
See, I remember when the first dreams I heard from Nick were things, lots of blood and demons and massacres and explosions and stuff like that. And
in case you have things about fish, too. Sometimes I was ever used to it at Starfire before that, I used to have strange dreams about fish.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's mostly just all these really cool dreams of going to other planets and meeting interesting beings and lot of snakes. I know you dream about a lot of snakes.
Yeah, that's just for creative energy. It's all good.
So what's the meaning of snakes in a dream?
Creative use of kundalini or creative energies.
Oh, wow.
This is a good thing, actually.
Okay. Can you explain?
I have dreams where I see snakes, which is just sometimes the inner levels of conscious trips, and then sometimes they would go in my spine, and then I would have an experience with them.
Wow.
Yeah, and sometimes I even had a pet familiar in the form of a snake in my dreams that would help advise which ones, how I should be using energy and how I should not be using energy.
Wow. Very powerful. Very powerful. And you ignited this power through meditation?
Meditation, stones, and chants recently.
Really?
And you'd had this since you were like a teenager.
Yes, I did. I had a lot of this interesting mystic books I got into, which sometimes can do it too.
It's powerful.
So one thing that we do, we have this dream meetup group, which I guess we'll mention at the end too, called Dream Catchers here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And we just have people come and talk about their dreams. We talk about our dreams and we share. We don't insist on any kind of interpretation, but if people say, what do you think this means? We offer what we think and keep it real open.
So give us some specifics. Where can we catch this meeting, Dream Catchers? I'm actually a member myself. Hello.
You know what? I found it easier, honestly, to just Google Cincinnati Dreamcatchers than to try to look it up directly through Meetup.
Okay.
So I just Google Cincinnati Dreamcatchers and I just click the page when it comes up.
Okay.
And it'll list the next times we meet. Next one is going to be at Sidewinder's, Sidewinder Coffee in Northside on Hamilton Avenue.
Okay.
On October 1st, Sunday.
Oh, cool.
7 p.m.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome.
And we do about once or twice a month.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do more if we get more people, but
absolutely.
It's fun. And it's useful. I think a big part of this is getting rid of fear, shining light on fear, you know.
It's powerful.
Because a lot of people are scared of their dreams because, you know, the unknown, that's where most fear is. And
true.
If, you know, you were unconscious while you were asleep or this weird stuff happened, you feel like you're not in control, it's a great place to have lots of fear. And
sure.
Every person I know, everyone who has started writing down their dreams, including Nick, regularly and trying to understand them, if they had nightmares, those nightmares reduce drastically or disappear completely when people really start working to understand their
dreams.
And I believe that's because it's hard to be afraid of what you know. I mean, you can avoid it,
right?
But
right.
You're not nearly as afraid of it as you are of mystery and unknown stuff.
That's true.
You start shining light on your dreams, the fear disappears.
Absolutely.
That's the best remedy I know for nightmares is study your dreams and they'll go away.
That's powerful.
There's another one, too.
Yes, you're giving us remedies. Yeah. Yes, please.
I know people who can lucid dream, and I do a little lucid dreaming. I'm not
What is lucid
great
dreaming?
At it. What is lucid dreaming?
Yeah.
Lucid is like clear, awake. So lucid dreaming is, instead of that groggy, kind of stupor, vague, hazy experience of dreams where you're not totally clear, you don't remember that you have a separate waking life, and you don't remember your name, you're just in this dream, weird stuff happens, and you just go along with it. In a lucid dream, you know who you are, you know it's a dream, and you can make conscious choices.
Wow. So you're awakened in a dream.
Yeah, just like I could walk outside, walk down the street.
Yeah.
In my dream, I can go out, walk down the street, go exploring, talk to people, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a lucid dream.
That's powerful.
So some people, they have lucid dreams, and it's like, okay, this is how I'm going to avoid my nightmares. I turn lucid, I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Sprout wings, fly away.
Absolutely.
But the nightmare usually won't go away. It just becomes a lifelong thing, like putting on a Band-Aid over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare starts, I fly away.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare starts, I fly away the next night. But to stop it, if you turn around and face what's coming at you or what you're afraid of, it either shrinks into something not as scary or becomes, the fear is just totally gone. And a lot of times it reveals things you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know of situations where there's something real angry person somebody's scared of, and they face them, it turns into a crying child.
Wow.
Or and then you get some insight into what your anger is really about.
Absolutely.
Or my case was these guys throwing full cans of soda at me.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
So I turn around and ask them, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And they just put their hands in their pockets and kick the dust and shrug and like, I don't know, why are you doing this? I don't know, why are you doing? They just all wander away mumbling. And that was the end of that.
Really? So how'd you interpret that?
Oh, to be honest, I don't remember what that was about. That was a long time ago,
okay.
And I don't remember. It wasn't a major life thing.
Okay.
But,
it was just something.
So getting rid of the fear, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's powerful.
And having getting to know yourself better, there's a lot of choices you got to make. And the better you know yourself, the better you can make your choices. If you know what your strengths are, your weaknesses, your fears, your blind spots, that helps. And dreams can help show you that. So that's a great use. I've made some life decisions based on
powerful.
Dreams. I hope they were good ones, but based them on
absolutely.
My dreams.
I could see that they were. You're a shining bright light.
Oh, I thank you.
Both of you are. Thank you. This is powerful. I'm just in awe. That's why I'm not saying a whole lot, because I'm learning. And I'm as I'm listening, I'm taking all this valuable information.
Cool.
So I want to thank you. And we're just flowing. You know, so chime in, and we're just going
to
make it happen.
You know, Nick, we haven't gotten into, like, the mechanics of how to interpret a dream, really.
No, we haven't. Perhaps we should do that next.
Yeah.
If you want.
So, let's see. You want to tell the two main principles about dreams being about you?
Yes. People in dreams represents aspect of self, and sometimes it's usually about the dreamer.
Powerful.
So, if you could, you know what? You don't even have to imagine. I'm going to do it. Let's say.
What are you doing, Jonathan?
Let's say this yellow cup is you. And the aspect is a side of something. Like this building we're sitting in has a north aspect, south aspect where we are, where the sun's all bright, east aspect, west aspect. And we have aspects. We have different sides mm-hmm. of ourselves. And one side might be sad. One side might be angry. One side might be happy. One mm-hmm. side might be something else. One side might be a mom. One side might be a warrior. One might mm-hmm. be a victim. One might be a class clown. Mm-hmm. We have all these different sides of ourselves. We call them aspects. We have the capacity to be a lot of different kinds of people. You take anybody mm-hmm. off the street, give them a different upbringing, a few it's other true. Changes, they could be a totally different person.
It's so true.
So all these different possibilities of who we could be, they show up in a dream, like Nick said, as people, in that's my right. understanding, at mm-hmm. least most of the time. I don't nice. Know how to prove it for 100%, but right. it sure works.
Yes, absolutely, I agree.
So like the people of the government is like me, or like I had a dream about the Incredible Hulk, that was my anger, stuff like that. Or like there was some stuff people were trying to teach me I didn't know if I believed. Mm-hmm. So I had a dream about a teacher trying to convince me that fried food is really good for you, and I was all skeptical. I was like, oh, I know what this is about. This is about this stuff that I'm skeptical about.
Right.
These new ideas.
What did you discover?
At the time, I decided to go ahead and receive and test out and put aside my pre-convictions and just see what would happen.
Okay. And what did fried food represent?
It represented the stuff I was learning in the school of metaphysics.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought some of it was like, I don't know about this. It's pretty right. strange.
Interesting.
There, in the dream, there's this guy. I'd never met him, but the guy who was basically the founder of the school, his name was Jerry Rothermill. I'd seen pictures of him. Anyway, he was the main character in the dream. He was the teacher. He was like, fried food's good for you. You need to eat lots of fried food. Right. And I'm like, I don't know.
Right. It tastes good, but fried food does taste good.
Then we get into the people are you. I interpret it usually like everything's you. And to be honest,
yeah.
I'm always getting thrown curveballs or weird things in dreams that I don't know what to do with. Nick throws me a lot of these curveballs where I say, Nick, I don't know. Right. I don't know. I just have to think about this. Or, Nick, I don't know how to figure this out. That kind of dream, I didn't even know it was possible to dream that.
Really?
I've had people have dreams like, I dreamed I turned into a drop of oil and explored my car, and now I know what's wrong with it, and I fixed it. I'm like,
really?
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. How do you get to that power?
I don't know. A lot of the people that do this stuff, they don't know how they did it, and all I can do is take their word for it. There's
is that right?
And then there's people who they've got some results, like I dreamed to try this remedy and it worked, or I dreamed, we got some actually really well-known ones, like the periodic table, that Dmitri Mendeleev dreamed of that, or what do you call it, the sewing machine. This guy had a dream that all these cannibals with these special-shaped spears were spearing people. Mm-hmm. And this spears were the exact right shape to make a sewing machine work. Anyways.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of these kinds of examples, and that gets into things like, they call it incubating a dream, where you go to sleep with a thought that you want an answer to, and you really concentrate on it. And then you hopefully dream an answer or an idea you can use. Like one time, I needed to give this lecture on, I was doing these monthly lectures at a library in Missouri, and it was this deadline. I needed to send all the publicity out, and I couldn't think of what I wanted to do for the next talk, so I just put my head down on the desk and took a little nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even take the nap on purpose. I just gave up. And but that's what I was thinking about, and I woke up with the idea. It was almost 4th of July at the time, and it was an image of Uncle Sam pointing at you, saying, I want you to break free of your habits. And it was going to be about how to break habits for 4th of July, you know,
that
freedom.
Really?
Liberty. Here we are at People's Liberty,
right?
Right.
Break the habits. Right. Break the habits.
Yeah, so that came out of a dream.
Okay, so
I could give a lot of examples.
I mean, that's powerful. Yeah, let's pause on that one now. So you're sharing that you have the power to ask for the solution of a situation that you're currently in through your dreams.
Yeah. I've seen examples of that working. I've not seen it work 100% for everybody, but I've certainly seen and had examples where it seems to have worked.
So what do you have to be? What kind of space do you have to be in to be able to ignite that power?
Sincere.
people. Really?
Desperate works.
True. So sincerity. So you have to be totally
honest. Whatever it takes to concentrate really hard, really completely on that particular subject as you're going to sleep, to the point where you carry it with you into your dream. A lot of people do that by accident. If they saw a scary movie, they'll accidentally incubate a scary dream because they carried something like that into their sleep.
Wow. So would you say affirmation or speaking it out loud?
Drawing a picture, talking about it, thinking about it.
Okay.
Any kind of organized activity could help you. But if it's something you're like really, really wanting to know, you almost can't help but be thinking about it right to the moment you fall asleep.
That's true.
That's a good one.
I'm taking all this in. I'm like,
But the interpretation. So anyway, that's all background of it. We say they're all about the dreamer, but I keep running into these examples of where it seems to be also about something else. And what I try to do is think of it like layers. Like, okay, maybe there's a layer about something else, and a layer about me, and a layer about something else entirely. And I just try to pick out what layer I'm looking at. I usually tell people the only layer I can help you with is the part that's symbolic, that's about you.
Right.
And I can only help you a little bit.
Wow. That's powerful.
So the way I work with the interpreting, in my experience, it's all about analogies. That everything in a dream seems to be an analogy, where you take something concrete that you can see and feel and touch and experience that's like something abstract that's an idea, and you use that to express the idea. Like, for example.
Yes, please share.
Somebody's real smart, we say they're bright. You don't stick them in a dark room to make it where you can see. It's not literal. But we use that analogy of how light is like that. So we say the unknown, we call it the darkness. Awareness, big symbol for awareness, is light. We get a lot of information through our eyes, cut off that information, we lose a lot of awareness. Great symbol. That feeling of I don't know what's in front of me is a great symbol for the unknown. Or we got like food. We have these phrases like food for thought. Let me chew on that for a while. That's a weird idea. Don't know if I can swallow that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the visual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the gustatory, the tasteual of it too.
Right.
So we got this food symbol of like learning information. You might be overwhelmed with what you're experiencing. You can't quite swallow it. Teeth dreams and stuff. So we got that going on. You got the road symbol. We have this experience of walking or driving on a road, and you get to a crossroads where you make choices. So we dream about coming to a crossroads, and in our talk, we talk about being at a crossroads. Even if we're sitting in a coffee shop, there's no crossroads anywhere in sight. We still know what we mean when we say crossroads. Somebody's really happy, we say they're high. They're feeling bad, we say they're low, even if they're taller than we are.
Right.
Because it's all analogies. It's comparisons. You trace it back far enough, even a lot of our language is just a whole lot of analogies like
it is, and cliches.
Like that word spirit, you look in a lot of languages, spirit and breath and wind, it's all the same word.
It is, it is.
People are looking for some word to describe this thing, and the closest they can get is wind and breath.
Right.
So that evolves into this word for this thing, and the word is spirit.
Right, right. It's powerful.
From the Latin of spiritus, which is like breath.
Right. Right.
Breathing the breath of life into things.
Right, right.
So a lot of these dream symbols seem to be universal because a lot of things about people are universal. We've all got a lot of us function through visual. A lot of us have a left and a right side of our body. We got a front, we got a back. We talk about face and things. We all have faces. We put faces on our ID cards instead of putting belly buttons on our ID cards. So face represents your identity.
That's powerful.
So even knowing nothing else, if you just start looking for analogies, you can get pretty far with your dreams.
Absolutely.
The other one is a basic plot. And I didn't come up with this. I lifted this from Edgar Cayce. That was something I think, and maybe that might be from a lot of places. But I found if I'm overthinking it, if I just take the dream and state it real basic, first person, present tense, it'll take me right to the meaning. Like, say you dream.
Yes, please share. How do you do that?
No. Say you got this big, complicated dream, and you're running from something, running from lots of things, and there's obstacles and places you go, and they're trying to get you, and all this stuff happens, and you're writing down 10 pages of stuff, and you sum it all up as, I am trying to avoid something.
Right. That's very clear.
And I can't.
Exactly.
Because it just won't go away.
Right.
What I'm doing is not working.
Right.
I got to do something else.
Right. So in that moment, you discover that. What would be the next step for someone?
Getting specific. Well, then, okay, what is it that I'm avoiding?
Okay. So you start asking questions.
And then what am I going to do about it? Because the whole point is what you're going to do about it. Like,
true.
I had this dream. I was in this college class in the dream, and they give me this this test, and I flunk it terrible bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up, and I think, I think this is about how life is testing me, and I'm failing, and I think the test is time management.
Oh, wow, that's a
So I'm going to do some things to fix this. And then a few days later, I have this dream. I'm in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
Same teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Take the test.
Mm-hmm.
I got an A.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, so that's some of the interpretation type stuff.
But I think it's because you're aware of what's going on.
Well, that's
why it works.
The dream
for you.
Helps with that. And I've had a lot of help. I mean, I was going to the School of Metaphysics, and that's the whole point, is become aware.
Right.
I mean, they're really devoted to that. They're willing to make you really mad for the sake of you being aware of yourself.
That usually gets people's attention.
Oh, yeah. You help people be aware of themselves. It's a quick route to pissing them off.
It is. It's very true.
A lot of things you don't necessarily want to be that aware of so quick.
It's true.
That
I'm laughing.
It brought to your attention too fast. It kind of upsets your boat.
But at that moment, you have to face it. Well, some people run from it, but then you have that option. I guess that's what life is all about, free will.
Hopefully so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to stop at that point and just see if you got questions or if Nick has any example dreams, because you have so many weird dreams you could share.
I'm going to start with the lucid dream ones and my more recent ones about the chanting, because I've had some pretty interesting experiences when I mix up the dreams with some of my chants, because I had this dream that I was in I was in a work office, and I was chanting, and I saw birds from the Kun Yunj mantra, and I saw them flying around. And recently, when I was on vacation, I chanted Kun Yunj again, and then I saw dolphins.
And just to step in, that's Kuan Yin, right?
Kuan Yin, yes. I couldn't pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
I have interesting experiences whenever I chant in a dream, like dolphins swimming, and And some are lucid dreams, too. Those are just some examples of how you can lucid dream the chants if you wanted to.
That's powerful.
Cool. Cool.
Very cool.
And, I've met people who have named all their kids based on what they heard in dreams.
Really?
I've met people who said they met me in a dream before they met me.
I've had that.
Yes. It's funny how common some of this stuff is. Surprisingly common. Like, I went to a high school class in Ozark, Missouri, south of Springfield, high school psychology class, and they invited us to come talk about dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I need to be careful and not bring up anything too controversial. And first question is a kid who had a dream about somebody dying, and that person, sometime in the future, they died.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like a whole bunch of people all had all these precognitive dream questions and things they'd experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot more people having these experiences than I realized.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what's happening. People are having these experiences. And so it's like creating platforms allow people to have a space to be able to share and realize that they're not alone.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful. That's what's happening now.
I think it's powerful because it's stories. And the most powerful kind of story is when you have an image in your mind. That story is so vivid that it's like you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a dream just puts you in it and skips the talking part.
It does.
You're in the story, and you've experienced the story, and you're going to remember that. And somebody could have told me, you need to get better at time management, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But the dream experience, yeah, that sunk in. Or like, I have a friend who had a dream of this big bull, and the bull was like all his stubbornness.
Right.
And it was like charging, and somebody could have said, hey, you know, you need to kind of tone it down. You're kind of pushy, but the dream sunk in better, and it was more memorable.
Why do you think that is? Is it the subconscious mind?
Subconscious mind and experiences. It seems like the mind works on experiences. I mean, that's pretty well known. If you're trying to teach something, the most boring way to do it is with a whole bunch of words and ideas with no sensory stuff and no pictures.
That's true. So the visual.
You get experiences, you get pictures, you get the visual. It sinks in.
It does.
So
you're absolutely right. That's true.
That's how the dreams do it. And people are like, well, why don't they just do it in words? Why does the dream just tell me? Occasionally it does.
It does.
Occasionally it will be in words. Mm-hmm. And it'll just say something like, like my friend Tad, he had a dream where it just gave a date. Yeah. It's like this date, like October 15th. Mm-hmm. That's all he knows. And he sees this flyer for school of metaphysics class on October 15th or whenever it was. He's like, oh, that must be the dream.
That's real. Now, would you consider that deja vu? Is that what people call that?
I have to ask the person.
Okay. Okay. You know, like you said, we have all these different words and meanings, and they all tend to mean the same thing.
I'd like to share. I don't know where we're at with time.
We're flowing.
We flow. All
you want to take a break and get some water? Or you want to keep it moving? I'm just letting it happen.
I want to make sure we tell people about dream school.
Yeah, yes.
Dream school before we end, too.
Okay.
Which I'll just do, okay.
You're right. There you go.
Dreamschool.org. dreamschool.org. Go there. All kinds of resources for dreams. The School of Metaphysics runs that. And they do live dream classes over the internet every Wednesday and have all kinds of resources. Check that out there. Mm-hmm. I put that in there.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, got that plug. So share with the world what's new and exciting in your life right now. Like, so what is Jonathan? What is Nick? What are you doing? And how you want to share with the world what is your life purpose? Share with the listeners.
Well, one time I had this meditation thought that resolved itself into words pretty quick, to where, to be honest, I'm not sure if it was the word. I think it was the thought that came to me, but I had been meditating on what's my purpose. It was a long time ago, and what I got was to show them what God has given. And the picture of that is basically just look around, and you think you're seeing it, but you're not. There's more. There's a person in front of you. You think you're seeing them, but if you ask a few questions and listen, find out there's a lot more. You look at the woods. I'm really into the nature thing. You look at nature, and you think you're seeing it, but there's a lot more going on than you even imagined. And showing how beautiful, amazing, interesting the world is, people are. So my purpose is to be a showman of reality and a cheerleader for the present moment. And just like, look at this, isn't
it
cool?
I love it.
I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying that's what I try to do when I remember.
That's awesome. That's a powerful statement.
So what I do is I'm a naturalist as far as the job description. And
okay.
I get paid to show people cool stuff in nature. And
really?
I'm like a music appreciation teacher. Teaches you to music maybe you didn't like so much. And they're like, oh, that's kind of nice. I'm a nature appreciation teacher.
That's awesome.
Teach people to appreciate nature better. And then you can go into like outer nature, inner nature, like nature... I got to put this in if you're asking about this. Nature, native, nativity, natal. I mean, it's all from being born.
You took that word to a whole nother level.
So it's got this natus, Latin, to be born. Everything in nature is born from the inside out, like a pregnant woman. Like something inside's growing and it's going to come out.
That's powerful.
Everything in nature just is what it is, and it's something arises from it seemingly spontaneously, like a flower coming out of a bud, or a
tree like a lotus
coming
flower.
Out of a seed,
right.
A man coming out of a boy, a woman coming out of a girl, or whatever gender you want. And
it's powerful.
The idea being just let what's inside come out, like the light in a light bulb when you clean the dirt off the glass.
Absolutely.
So I think you get in tune with outer nature. It helps me relax and let the rhythms of my inner nature come out, because I think the inner rhythms we've got kind of match the outer natural rhythms, whereas like a city type environment or inside your house, the rhythms don't necessarily jive with your own inner natural rhythms, so there's always a little friction, and it can distance you from being comfortable with yourself in the way you can in nature. At least that's my theory.
Well, I'm hearing you, and I'm right on with you. How do you get to that place? just finding your rhythm. And
I go out in nature. And
so nature.
Enjoy.
So take a walk with nature. Yeah. And that kind of fine tunes you.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, I don't think it's the only way, but okay. That's the way I like to use.
Absolutely, I do too. That and water.
There we go. And there's water in nature.
It is water in nature. Yeah, it was absolutely right. That's powerful. So where can we find you, Mr. Jonathan? Like if the world was seeking you, phone number, email, social media.
Oh, let's see. I've got a Facebook page.
Okay. You can share with the listeners if they have some questions or want to take.
Somebody was trying to get a hold. I guess the Dream Catchers thing.
Yeah.
I'm on that.
There you go.
Cincinnati Dream Catchers. Yes. I'm on there. I just use my regular name on Facebook. It's on the podcast.
Okay.
So you probably just Google that and that would come up. And
okay.
That's probably good enough to start with.
Sure, absolutely.
I have no idea if like 2 people or 2 million people are going to hear this, so I'll just leave it
We'll leave it at 2 million. If you'll agree with me. You never know. People are seeking for understanding. And so you've pretty much shared with the listeners today that dreams can eliminate the fear from within.
Yeah.
That sound about right?
And you can interpret just about anything, find deeper meaning in it, just like a dream, and mm-hmm. savor it, get a lot more out of it.
Absolutely. Through analogies?
That's a good way to do it. Anything that real analogies connect things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of an analogy. So any besides just having an analog inside yourself, just seeing that there's a connection inside you that resonates to what you're looking at or what you're experiencing on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like anybody look outside this window, this big blue sky.
Yeah, it's beautiful today.
I mean, like the Osage people, where I used to live in Missouri, that used mm-hmm. to be their homeland. And their way of looking at the world, the blue sky is a big symbol of the clear, open, vast, free
mm-hmm.
State of mind they aspired to.
Wow.
The sky is like the symbol of how you want to be. So you look at the blue sky and it resonates with this sense of freedom and possibilities mm-hmm. and openness.
That's true. I'm watching it and I'm like, as you're speaking, I'm like, yeah, dude, that's groovy.
I think that's almost universal. Anybody
it
looks
is.
At certain things in nature and it calls forth certain emotions and ideas inside them, even if they're not conscious of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a walk with nature.
It.
Is essential to ignite to living in bliss.
It's one of the best ways. It's cheap too. Yeah, it's one of the
it's
best
true.
Ways. The sky is free. It's just up
it
there.
It is
you
free.
Just look up at it.
You're absolutely
or
right.
Or sniff it if you have to do
it's the
it
truth.
That way.
You're right. That's powerful.
I've talked plenty. So
you've done wonderfully. So
we got
so
Nick here too.
Yeah, Nick. So you want to share with the world, do you have a Facebook page or anywhere if people want to connect with you? Or?
Yes, I have Facebook and I have email.
Okay.
Nick Weissel at Facebook.com and that's my Facebook page.
Okay, awesome. Because you have some awesome, very interesting stories. You'd be surprised how many people would like to connect with you and share.
And what would you say would be one or two of the most recent cool new things that have been going on for you dream-wise or vision-wise or life-wise?
Just being more creative and being present, mostly.
He speaks truth on that one.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. You're way more present than when I first met you.
Really?
It's very noticeable.
So what change have you seen, Jonathan?
Is it
within
okay if I tell a story on you?
Which one?
It's about hugging.
Oh. I guess.
Well, I have a memory of after knowing Nick for several months, and he hugged somebody, which in itself I think was kind of a new thing, relatively new. And not only that, he stopped and said, I don't think I was giving my full attention. Let's do that again.
Oh my goodness, that's powerful.
That is powerful. Everybody likes attention.
Absolutely right. Right. So he enhanced his intention for the hug.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. I think if we all would think that, I think more love would be spread around this world.
Indeed. That's what kids all want. They're just like
it's true.
Clamoring
touch.
For what? Attention.
Yep. Attention.
Attention.
You're absolutely right. That's very powerful. Nick, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you all would like to share with the world or a positive word for the day or... someone listening? You have any words for them?
Dreams are free.
Yes, they are.
It's possible to remember them. It's not that hard. It takes just a little bit of stick-to-itiveness. Take a playful attitude towards it. If you already remember them, great. They're really useful. And there's other people who you can get together with and talk about them. And I think human beings are designed to talk about their dreams in groups.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Jonathan.
You, man.
Yes. This is pleasant. Powerful. I want to continue, but we'll take a break here. And Nick, is there any words of wisdom you have for our listeners?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I want to again thank Jonathan and Nick for being a guest here on Spiritual Beings, Having Human Experiences. I've been blessed today. You know how you have a show and you have this whole list of words or questions you want to ask a guest? This is the first time I've been quiet because I truly believe that it was for me as well to take in the information. And I want to thank you all because you've enhanced my life and my purpose and given me tools to heighten what's already manifesting. So
ooh,
I thank you.
It's going to be tall,
man. Right. Let's go then. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to Spiritual Beings Having Human Experiences. This is Nicole Lee, your host, and you can find me online at nicolelee.me. I send love, light, joy, and peace to you all.
Written by Gary McFarlane. A sack full of dreams. I've got a dream for the world. Peace in the rivers and everywhere. Bridges of steel and love. Cities that smile. Gray empty faces walk by. And hands try to hide all the loneliness. Lighting a cigarette to blow time away. Lost in the noise, lonely as a wind. People on sidewalks with no place to go. Can they learn to understand? The world of love that I'm dreaming. I said, I've got a sack full of dreams. Streets filled with laughter and toy balloons and people with hearts that care. Who listen for love? Wanting to sing, wanting to care, wanting to share all my dreams for the world. can be learned to understand the world of love that I'm dreaming. The world of love. Wanting to share all my dreams for the world. Can they learn? Can they learn? Can they learn to understand the world of love? Peace, peace and happiness. Sack full of dreams.